The next part of our service has been led into. Brother Bob just took very nicely and said, we need to do it. And Brother Bob is going to talk to us, Brother Bob Wiggins, that is going to talk to us about educating to increase their faith. Brother Bob.
Brethren, good afternoon. And as has been expressed, it is a joy to be here. And also to see how many of you have desired to come to share this weekend together. And I know it's been a real encouragement to me to just go back over some of these thoughts and to hear them once again. I would like to bring you part of the love of the Connellsville, Pennsylvania Ecclesia, and thankfully there are others here with me who can share in bringing that to you. Our part of this afternoon's subject on the mission is educating to increase their faith, that is, the faith of the earthly seed. And I'd like you to think about, for a few moments with me, exactly what faith is, because we'd like to go back and review that together. And you may think, as I read over some of these things, that I'm talking now about spiritual Israel. But listen in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul tells us what faith is. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. And I think right there in verse 2, the men of old gained approval, should help us to realize that we're dealing here with a concept which is applicable to both spiritual and natural Israel. The Strong's word for faith, number 4102, it means persuasion, credence, moral conviction of religious truth, or the truthfulness of God. Reprint 5716. Many imagine that they have faith when in reality they have only credulity. Their so-called faith is not founded upon the Word of God and upon His promises. Such credulity will surely fall when the great testing time comes. Credulity is the acceptance of a thing without good reason, without sure evidence. Faith, on the contrary, is the acceptance of a thing because we have indisputable evidence of its reality, its truthfulness, and its reliability. Consider another part of the description on page 5717. Faith is not only a groundwork or basis for our hopes, itself also having a groundwork in proven facts, but it is a real substance, a mental substance, so to speak, which stimulates and clarifies the mind. Groundwork, real substance, it requires evidence, it requires facts to establish faith. There's a relationship between faith and hope. Reprint 4385 describes that for us. It says, strictly speaking, hope is unsubstantial, not a reality. It furnishes no genuine foundation. It is merely a hope. It will not sustain weight. But faith is more than hope. Faith implies a promise, and when a promise is made by the Almighty God, who changes not, and who as is omnipotent as He is unchangeable, then faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. Hope finds a foundation, finds in faith a substance, because the faith rests upon a divine promise. Whoever therefore has hope that is without such a divine promise has a foundationless hope. So again, you have facts, you have evidence, which are the foundation for faith. Faith itself is a foundation for hope, for hopes that are true, that have substance to them. Now, we realize that in the reprint selections that we read, Brother Russell was addressing spiritual Israel. But the concept of faith is the same, we believe, for natural Israel as well. It is true that God has made different promises to natural Israel than to spiritual Israel. Our promises are heavenly. They are spiritual. And so are our rewards if faithful. But he has still made promises to natural Israel. We as Christians learn to have confidence in God and in the promises he has made to spiritual Israel. How? It's through a study of his word, and it's through our experiences. It's through looking at his providences in our lives. And we know how important faith is to us of spiritual Israel. Now try to keep all that in mind as much as you can when we talk about then the increase of faith for natural Israel, because we believe there are many parallels between spiritual Israel and natural Israel, the spiritual seed and the earthly seed. And this, the establishment of faith, is one of those parallels, we believe. So why is faith important to natural Israel? Well, we think Brother Bob beautifully gave us some insights into why that is when he was talking about encouraging them. We are told to comfort ye, my people, that is natural Israel. This comfort message involves the declaring of prophecies relating to them, to the Jewish people, and the promises that God has made to them. But you know, how are they going to be comforted by that if they don't have a foundation of faith in those promises that God has made for them? You know, we can tell them all kinds of things about the prophecies related to the restoration of the land and about what God is going to do for them in the future and how he's going to take care of them in the future. And that's a comfort to them, but only to the extent that they have the faith to receive it, just like us, isn't it? The only way that the promises help us and do us good is if we have the faith established to have confidence and trust in those promises that God has made for us. So we do believe that the brethren here, in establishing the platform for the symposium today, have very wisely selected the comfort and now the increase of the faith of the earthly seed as part of, again, this discussion on our mission to natural Israel. Again, quoting from Hebrews 11, it's verse 6 this time. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So those who exercise faith must not only believe in God, but they also must believe God. The rewards promised to the Jew, of course, are different. They are the earthly promises. But again, the concept of faith is parallel in both. The importance of faith to the Jew is noted in reprint 5568. And this was written in November of 1914. And it reads as follows: "Now we are able to tell them," that is the Jew, "that the Gentile times have expired, and that they may go up and take possession of the land. We do not know how soon they will take possession. And the last statement we think is especially significant. According to their faith, it will be unto them. What is it that leads us to obedience? It's faith. So if natural Israel is told to go up and possess the land, they're only going to obey to the extent that they have faith or confidence, and that's what God tells them to do, and then that they have to have confidence that He will be with them in going up and possessing the land. How can we, of spiritual Israel, Gentiles, of course, as far as the Jews are concerned, how can we help to increase the faith of the earthly seed? Well, that's where the other part of our title comes into play, and that is through educating. The definition of educate is to provide with knowledge or training in a particular area or for a particular purpose. To provide with information. To bring to an understanding or acceptance. God has given us the spiritual seed, the privilege to provide knowledge, information, and instruction in God's Word to increase the faith of the earthly seed now that the time to comfort them has come. And again, faith has to be based upon the Word of God, both for the natural seed as well as for the spiritual seed. That's the only place that true faith is going to have its foundation. In addition to giving information or knowledge, we as Christians establish our faith, as I mentioned before, by looking at our experiences in divine providence. Well, again, it's the same with natural Israel. If they can see how that God has cared for them in the past, how that He has always fulfilled His promises, how that not one of His promises to that nation has ever failed. If they can see that sequence of events, their faith will be established. Their trust, their confidence in God and what He has promised will be established. Just like with us. When we go on in our experience, we see that God does keep His promises to us. And we can see that in the providences in our lives. Well, the nation of Israel can look back and see that as well. And we can help them. We can help them to go back. And that's what we do. That's what part of our mission is to point these things out to them. Look at how God has cared for you. In discussing one of His discourses specifically to a Jewish audience, Brother Russell makes the following comment in reprint 47:21. It says, "All but a very few heard us with many manifestations of interest, especially after we had reached the center of our theme, and they perceived that we were not trying to get them into some Christian sect. But drawing their attention as Jews to the promises of God through their own prophets, many of their faces lighted up with hope, and some wept." So you notice the method. Calling their attention to the promises in their own prophets. And what was it that lighted up their faces with hope? Well, hope is based on faith. So it must have touched a chord of faith in their hearts when He was speaking these things to them. Reprint 47:64 says, "Our last meeting with the Jews was held in Philadelphia. That meeting was the most enthusiastic held thus far with the Jewish people. Their confidence in the editor seems to be growing. Zionism from a prophetic standpoint seems to stir the Jewish heart as the subject never did from a political viewpoint." Zionism, or the at one time the hope of reestablishing a homeland in Palestine and now the support of the nation of Israel or the state of Israel, in order for it to truly be enduring and in order for it truly to give motivation, courage, and conviction has to be from the biblical standpoint. In fact, I think we can see what's happening now in Israel when Zionism is based on mere politics or perhaps a pragmatic standpoint of returning to the land to escape persecutions elsewhere. If it's not based on a scriptural foundation, then there is an aptness to do what's being done now, and that is to give up some of the land that is rightfully theirs in the scriptures. So we think that Brother Russell's observation here was a very good one, that it has to be from a biblical standpoint. One point that's very important in our mission that we'd like to mention, we might again rhetorically ask ourselves the question, because I know we know the answer to this, are we to try to educate them that Jesus is the Messiah? In other words, we know part of our education process is calling to the attention their prophecies, but is the idea of the Messiah at the present time to be any part of our message? And just as a comment on Romans 11, 25 and 26, which we'd like to read, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." We believe that this indicates that no, it is not time to try to tell them that Jesus is the Messiah, and that we do have a scriptural foundation for that, that's not part of the education process right now. Because this blindness will be upon them in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the completion of the church. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That, we believe, is in the future. And that's a very important part of our mission to keep in mind. And we'd like to share the historical foundation. We believe that this scripture, along with reprint 47:26, helps us to establish this thought. That reads, "It is not our expectation that the Jews will become Christians now. It will be after they shall have returned to Palestine and the spirit of prayer and supplication shall have been poured on them that they will look upon him whom they pierced. Our message is to comfort them and to turn their eyes toward Palestine and toward their glorious promises centering there." Another quote from reprint 4764, and this quote, Brother Russell wrote this after his message at the Hippodrome to about 4,000 Jews in 1910, and some pamphlets were passed out that were meant for Christians, and unfortunately they were passed out to the Jews, so the Jews got the misunderstanding that Brother Russell was trying to mission them. And he says, "On our return from Europe in November, we corrected the misunderstanding so far as possible through the Jewish newspapers. We informed them that we were not trying to mission the Jews, nor to make them members of either Catholic or Protestant Christian bodies. We were not even preaching Jesus to them. Our message was to the Jews as Jews, from Isaiah 41 and 2. We declared that it was not our expectation that the Jews would return to Palestine as Christians. On the contrary, God's call and promises as respects Jerusalem are earthly promises to natural Israel. To a few who asked, quite deeply, we explained that our understanding is that the Messiah of prophecy is a great spirit company composed of many members, including English, French, German, Jews, etc., and that God is gathering this messianic company in heavenly glory, to heavenly glory from every nation, people, kindred, and tongue, and that only the saintly will be in and of it. We explain we do not understand that Christians in general, any more than Jews in general, will have part in that messianic body, and that it would be the furthest thing from our thought to have the Jews get as mixed up on different matters as are the majority of Christian people." We might ask ourselves the question, how much of a need is there amongst the Jewish people for an increase of faith? How much can we help in this area of educating them and of trying through that process to increase their faith as Gentiles? Well, we find Jews really both in Israel and outside of Israel on one end of the spectrum to the other as far as their faith is concerned. You know, some of them don't seem to have much faith at all. We know in Israel they would speak of the Jews in Tel Aviv, at least when we were in Jerusalem, kind of disparagingly in a way. They would talk about those Jews in Tel Aviv or those people in Tel Aviv as if they didn't have a whole lot of faith. Tel Aviv kind of represents Israeli secular society. Then we were privileged to be with many Jews who exercise a great deal of faith. You know, it takes a lot of faith when you're a Jew and you go to live in the city of Hebron, as Brother Bob mentioned. There's 400 or 500 Jews living in that city, surrounded by about 100,000 Palestinians. In fact, it was interesting that one of the brethren brought this lesson home to me. When we were in northern Israel touring, I was saying how beautiful it was there, and that if I wound up moving to Israel, I'd love to move to the north because it's so beautiful. And this brother said, if I came here, I would want to go to Hebron. And I thought, well, you're right, because you're the one that's exercising the faith. I'm looking at all this beautiful countryside in the north, but if you really want to show your faith, you'd go and live in Hebron amongst all the Palestinians. So we think both the secular and the Orthodox, or those who do exercise more faith, we think there is opportunity there throughout the spectrum of Judaism, from those in Israel to those outside of Israel. In all cases, we think there's an opportunity to increase their faith and to encourage their faith more and more. I want to share an experience that brought this home to me. There was we were in Netanya, and it was close to the end of the trip. It was for one of the showings. And I met this lady named Sylvia. As I understand it, she had moved to Israel at a very young age, I think about 12 years old. And the reason she moved there was because she just knew there was something special about her people, their history. There was just something there about their preservation and their history. She told me herself, I didn't bring it up, that Judea and Samaria are so prominent in the Old Testament. And I don't remember what percentage of scriptures she said, but there was a tremendous percentage of the scriptures that deal with Judea and Samaria, which is what the world calls the so-called West Bank. She was carrying with her some burnt pages from some books that somehow she had gotten from Joseph's tomb. Joseph's tomb is in Samaria. And just a few weeks before we arrived in Israel, they had riots in that area where the Palestinians attacked the Israeli soldiers that were guarding Joseph's tomb. And they desecrated. I believe it was a yeshiva that was there is why the books were there also, and they desecrated the place. And she was carrying these around. She had a petition that she was trying to get the Jews to sign. I don't remember what it was about, but I think it had something to do with supporting the view of not giving up the land. You know, the thing that amazed me, this lady told me that she was somewhat of an agnostic. And I talked with her a lot. Many of you spoke with her. You may remember who I'm talking about, those that were there. I was so amazed at her determination and conviction, but I was so surprised to hear her say that she was an agnostic, or at least she thought of herself as that. So, brethren, there is ample opportunity and need for us to educate the Jewish people to increase their faith. Our guide, Haim, who we grew to love and respect very much as a man of faith, who would quote to us prophecies and show us how they were being fulfilled, Yet even here, I wonder if we don't have the opportunity again to encourage and stimulate and even increase his faith. Because I remember when we were at a place called Atlit, which is on the Mediterranean shore, or Mediterranean coast. And this was a detention camp where the British would take the Jews as they were coming back from Europe after World War II, before Israel was established as a nation in 1948. And they would hold them there. And if I remember the story correctly, one of the sisters in our group was sharing with Haim the concept of Genesis 12:3, where it says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." And the thing about the British was they were being so insensitive to the Jews when they would bring them back. And there they were in the promised land, and yet they were held in this detention camp, kept behind a barbed wire fence, and they couldn't go into their own land because of the stringent immigration quotas that were imposed. And I believe she shared this with Haim. But you know, as much faith as he has, it was amazing that he just didn't quite seem able to grasp that concept. I remember him just saying, "No, I can't. I just can't accept that at this point. I'm just not able to mentally handle that somehow Great Britain is not what she used to be. You know, she used to be a major power. She used to be the mistress of the seas. But because of God blessing those who bless Israel and cursing those who curse Israel, she's now diminished in her power." And he just couldn't quite grasp that. And that's not to diminish from his faith. It's to show that even with the most faithful of the Jews, there is the opportunity to increase their faith by dialoguing with them, by communicating with them, and by sharing the message with them. During some of our meetings, Brother Ken encouraged the Orthodox Jews to reach out to the secular Jews. And he encouraged them not to start this outreach with the land issue right away, because there is a division in Israel. There are those, the ones who we believe have faith, don't want to give up the land, but there's another segment of society that doesn't have as much faith that does want to give up the land for peace. But he encouraged them to develop faith in God and in biblical Zionism. And if that is done, the land issue will take care of itself. You know, if you establish their faith in the Scriptures and the fact that the Scriptures promised the land to Israel, if that faith can be established in some of the secular Jews, the land issue will resolve itself, because the Scriptures are very clear about that. So if their faith is in the Scriptures, it'll take care of itself. And in the report that was given in the latest issue of the newsletter, it was noted that arrangements have been made for Israel Appointment with Destiny to be used in an outreach program to the secular Jews. So it does appear that some of the Jews have taken Brother Ken's suggestion to heart. Also, as our opportunity as Gentiles to increase by education the faith of the earthly seed, it seems, again, that our message as Gentiles carries more weight because of the fact that we are Gentiles, perhaps. It seems that many of the Jews were more receptive to the prophecies being pointed out to them by this Christian group than they would be to their own leaders and rabbis. The message was very much well received and appreciated. And I think we could see the actual results of our efforts after the showings of the increase of faith of those who saw Israel Appointment with Destiny. You know, all you had to do was stand there with one of those blue tags that said Israel Appointment with Destiny. I'm not the greatest for going up and starting conversations with people, So I just decided a couple of times, I'm just going to put myself in a, you know, place here where the people are going by and see what happens. They come up to you with smiles on their face. They shake your hand. They are so appreciative of the message and of the fact that we were there to share it with them. So I think all of this leads us to believe that, yes, there is very much that we can do to increase their faith. Yes, we can encourage the Jews to educate the Jews, but there's something we can do, and we saw the results of it while we were there in Israel. And we can also do it whether we have the opportunity to go to Israel or not. One other point I believe Brother Bob touched on, and I'd just like to mention it briefly. This was also noted in the report in the newsletter, and that is that the Orthodox Jews receive really minimal instruction in the prophets, in contrast to the amount of time spent studying the Torah and the Talmud. They seem to spend a good bit of time in those, but not so much time in the prophets. So once again, there's the opportunity for us to share with them, to educate them along the lines of the prophets for this increase of faith that we desire to see. I'm thankful that I have time to share what was for me one of the most thrilling experiences while we were there. When we were in the Knesset, one of the members of the Knesset, which would be kind of like one of our congressmen, it's the Israeli parliament, Mr. Hanan Peratt, when he spoke to us, shared Psalm 126, verses 1 to 3, and if you'd like to turn to that, it's a thrilling account. And I believe it does tie in to our privileges to educate the Jews to increase their faith. Psalm 126, verses 1 to 3. It says there, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And he explained to us that as the Jewish people returned to the land of Israel, they were like those that dream. It almost didn't seem real to them. They didn't seem to quite be able to tie it all together. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And he went on to explain that he believed that those who were speaking among the heathen about the great things that God was doing for Israel, and those that were speaking to Israel itself about the great things that the Lord was doing for them, were Gentiles. We were a group of Gentiles, the brethren. And he told us how much he appreciated us being there and doing that. The end of the verse says, whereof we are glad. And he certainly was glad. So we think here again, we are encouraged to go tell the nations, the heathen, as well as Israel, what great things God is doing for them. And this will increase the faith of the natural seed of Abraham. We said initially that faith was evidence, that it was facts. Faith has to be established on that sure foundation if it is to endure. What is the evidence? What are the facts that we can present to the Jewish people to educate them? Well, I think if you read The Time to Favor Zion, and if you watch Israel Appointment with Destiny, those facts and those evidences are beautifully laid out. And we're only going to just review and refresh a few of them, because I know that you're all familiar with them and they're all laid out very nicely in those presentations, because I do believe that those are being used very much of the Lord, both outside of Israel in this country and in Russia, as well as in Israel, to do this education process, to accomplish the education part of the mission. And they are indeed increasing the faith of the Jewish people. In the Zion booklet, The Time to Favor Zion, one part of it says at the beginning that the purpose of this booklet is to show the role divine providence has unquestionably played in Israel's rebirth and survival. We point out to the Jewish people that the prophecies say that they would be scattered amongst the nations all over the world. And then, after almost 2,000 years, God would bring them again into Eretz Israel. That in itself, the fact that they survived as a distinct people, that they were not assimilated, that they survived all the persecutions, all the attempts to convert them to Christianity, that in itself, brethren, as we know, is a miracle of history. But again, we get to reinforce that and present that to them by either supporting the message in Israel, Appointment with Destiny, The Time to Favor Zion, or personally as we interact with the Jewish people, whether in Israel or outside of Israel. No other nation has had that happen to them besides Israel. Jeremiah 16:13, where it says, "Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor." Indisputable evidence, he did cast them out of their land and showed them no favor. Hosea 3:4-5, where it talks about, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim." Again, no question that that was fulfilled. But in verse 5, it says in Hosea 3, chapter 5, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days." You know, brethren, if it's a sure thing that God fulfilled His promise by casting them out of the land and making them a curse to the other nations, and then brings them back and returns them, how can there be any doubt? It is indisputable evidence. It is a substantive foundation for faith. And there's many other things. We point out the times of the Gentiles, 2,520 years, and we point out what happened in 1914. We point out the Balfour Declaration and the beautiful timing, how that the Bolshevik Revolution happened just 5 days after the Balfour Declaration. If it had happened any sooner, the impetus for the Balfour Declaration might have been gone. Jeremiah and Isaiah, filled with prophecies relating to natural Israel, which we don't have time to go into. So to draw this to a conclusion, when we point out what God has already done for them and the many prophecies that have already been fulfilled, the returning, the reestablishment of the land, making the desolate places into farmland, growing things, indisputable evidence that God has kept His promises, that can establish their faith then that God will keep His promises in the future, that when all nations come against Israel and when God says He will fight for them as He fought for them in the days of old, they can look back at this sure evidence that God has fulfilled His promises, and therefore they can have faith that He will fulfill His promises in the future, all of them, that Israel will survive. Brethren, isn't it a thrill? We know that the church will be working through the natural seed to bless all the families of the earth. Isn't it a thrill that now, during the harvest time, before The kingdom is fully established. We have the privilege of working with the earthly seed now to help increase their faith by educating them. Everything starts with Israel, doesn't it? The restitution processes and the blessing. And we have much evidence for that. And again, we have the tremendous privilege of beginning this process of developing their faith and working with them now. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Robert. It surely is a thrill. It's really a thrill. Brother Robert mentioned Mr. Peratt. I want you to keep that name in your mind, because a little bit later on, you're going to meet him. And I would ask you to do just one thing. Look at his face as he speaks to you. Look at his face when he talks about Psalms 126. And you'll thrill, as did Brother Robert and a whole bunch of others. We're going to have a little intermission here. The purpose of the intermission is fellowship. But we would ask that the fellowship be along the lines of how each one of you can take what you've just heard of comforting Israel, of comforting the earthly seed, of educating them to increase their faith. How are you able to take what you just heard and use it? That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. Just real quickly, there are letters of encouragement back here in the back to be signed. You can just sign one of them, and they will be Xeroxed. If you know of someone who needs special encouragement, please, and that's over here in this corner here, please take and put their name and address and information on the sheet that is provided. There were many photographs taken in Israel, and the brethren would love to share those with you. They're back here on the table also. Take a look at them. And if you have questions, there are at least 31 brethren here that would be, and more, that would be happy to tell you the significance of them. I'll tell you, there's one hanging on the wall back there that just really thrills me. It's where we stood, where Abraham stood, when God said, look, eastward, northward, southward, westward, and all the land that thou seest, I will give to you and to thy seed after. And the picture's back there. I think that's the majority of the announcements that have to be made. There are some seats that brethren might want to bring in from in the back. For fire reasons, laws, we would encourage you specifically, don't bring extra chairs into the room. We have to stay within the confines and the laws there. When you come back in, try to move in towards the center, because we only have so many seats. And there's so many brethren that have come to enjoy this. So do that. I failed you. I was given an announcement, and I didn't give it out, and I apologize. And that was in reference to the fact that there are young people's meetings that are planned here. I think everybody got out from what I was able to see in the room for them that would have attended. If not, I apologize. But there are, and please, please ask us, and we will see that you get that information. We will begin. And the program has been printed wrong. Not at 3:45, but at 3:43. Okay? 3:43, and Brother Ken will serve us at that time. Now we will close with the last three verses of hymn number 18. Hymn number 18. And we'll ask Brother Robert Wiggins if he would dismiss us with prayer, if you would, and to ask a blessing on our fellowship.
Father, who art in heaven, may all the praise and the glory and the honor be unto Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for the privilege we have as Thy people of looking back and seeing the fulfillment of prophecy, of seeing Thy care over Thy people Israel. We are so thankful that we are to the point in Thy divine plan that her time of disfavor has ended, and that we now have the privilege of comforting her and of increasing her faith. And we know, Father, ultimately, that through your experiences, we cannot give those to her. We cannot overrule in divine providences, and we are thankful because that is Thy divine dealing and providence to do so. But we are thankful to Thee that we have the privilege of giving them a message, the message of truth that you have given to us regarding your plan for them. And we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the time when Jerusalem shall be a praise in the earth and when Thy law shall go forth from Zion and Thy word from Jerusalem. Please overrule the thoughts that have been shared. Please correct anything said amiss. Please stimulate our own hearts, our own minds, our own faith to press on and to do Thy will. We ask Thy blessing upon our fellowship at this time. It is through Christ that we pray. Amen.